Good morning. It's 8464CA. Well, we're getting to the pointy end of the election. We find out what's happening tomorrow. Well, yesterday here in Cairns, we had an opportunity to have a visitor to make some important announcements, particularly when it comes to employment here in the region. My special guest, great to see you as always, Shadow Minister for Education and Women, Tanya Plibersek. Again, welcome to Cairns.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be with you, and it's great to see my friend Elida Faith, who's the Labor candidate for Leichhardt, and make a really important announcement about extra jobs for Centrelink.
Well, she's got a background in Centrelink, so I certainly know that she has an understanding how hard they can be worked, the type of resources. And look, you know, when you consider what's happened in the last couple of years under the coalition, obviously the shop fronts, it's important for people to see that, have that contact. And I think Bill Shorten actually described it as a robo-debt scheme. I guess it's coming back to, simplifying it. But when it comes to service, that often goes missing, particularly in regions. But what you're talking about with 100 extra employees right here in Cairns will make a difference.
Well, it makes a huge difference because we know that people who are ringing Centrelink, sometimes just for information or sometimes to update their own personal information with Centrelink, they can wait for hours.
Yep.
Sometimes they don't get through at all. And having a human being to talk to makes such a huge difference, particularly, I think, for older clients who might not be as comfortable doing their business over the internet. These 100 extra jobs for Cairns, they help the whole country, obviously, but they do make a really big difference to the local economy as well, because if you've got people employed right here in Cairns, good, secure, full-time jobs, then, of course, they're spending most of what they earn in the local economy. So if you've got a good, secure, full-time job, you're much more likely to, you know, buy a cup of coffee in the morning on the way to work or take your kids out on Friday night to the movies or for a pizza. That money goes back into the economy, creating jobs for other locals.
And particularly in regions, you know, we often feel that the focus is on those large capital cities of the states and territories. Decentralisation, I think, just in principle, is a good thing.
Oh, 100%. And there's already a big Centrelink call centre here in Cairns, and there's another one in Darwin. We've got, a few of these places around the country, and it makes absolute sense to locate these in regional centres like Cairns because you have the workforce here, you can get the real estate here. If you're picking up the phone, you can be serving any part of Australia. But the money that you're paying those people stays in this community.
And we've got the Great Barrier Reef, we've got the Daintree Rainforest.
Oh, now you're just showing off, Murray. You're just showing off. It's beautiful, I admit it. It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Well, especially considering, you know, the torrid time that you've had in Sydney over the last 2 years. I mean, it's been a tough time, so I should imagine getting out's great.
Actually, you know, even Brisbane, lots of parts of Australia have had drought, they've had bushfire, they've had floods, COVID lockdowns. It has been a tough few years, that's for sure. I look out the window here out of your studio and I just think I've landed in paradise.
We're always very pleased to see you. Let's talk a little bit more about education as we head to the election. Now, as I understand it, the coalition has had a focus more in education and particularly the scientific side with universities. Their main focus has been on encouraging universities to partner with industry and commercialise their research. One thing that I've noticed out working in this job is that there is a large and unfortunately too large percentage of the population, albeit still being small, that does not trust science. It is the background and the backbone of where we are today as a society, as a race, as a human population. It is so essential. There's this thought that it's basically, they're all on a gravy train. They're just making money, don't need to do any of the research, they're just feathering their nests. They've obviously not really had a lot to do with scientists. I've never, ever met a rich scientist. Talk to me a little bit more about this. Is it the horse before the cart? I would have thought that science leads to commercialisation, not the other way around.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing to say that our universities are doing research. They're discovering and inventing new things all the time. How do we translate that into jobs for Australians? That's a really good question to ask. So if we discover something like the Gardasil vaccine here in Australia and we can manufacture it here, that's much better than selling the license and seeing it manufactured overseas.
Sure.
So I do want to see commercialisation of our great scientific discoveries, but we also need to be doing basic research, the things that underpin, you know, advancing humanity. And there's things that really won't make a buck for anyone. In fact, they will save money. We need to be funding that sort of research too. So I'll give you an example. If you find a medicine that is useful for one condition and its patent has finished and that medicine's now super cheap to make and you can discover that it treats another condition as well, being able to discover that it's treating another condition, that's not going to make any money for the people who invented the medicine. It's off patent now, but it could make a huge difference to people's health.
Yeah, right.
So you need to have research that's not just focused on making a buck. You need to, if you discover something new, let's bring those jobs here for Australia. Let's manufacture here. Let's make things here. But we need to be doing public good research as well. And a really important thing to say about this is during COVID-19, like a lot of businesses got JobKeeper. Universities didn't get JobKeeper. 40,000 people across Australia lost their jobs from universities. About 7,000 of those were researchers. So all those people who have spent years, as you say, probably living in poverty, doing their PhD, working long hours in the laboratory.
Every bit of funding they've got to fight so hard for.
Discovering new stuff that will make life better for human beings. They've either had to go overseas to continue their research or they've lost or they've left research altogether. And that, the problem with that is not just that those people have lost their jobs, it means that we will be poorer as a nation. The way we get richer is discovering and inventing things that the world wants to buy. If we're turning our scientists out of jobs, where does that come from?
And so you're also talking about establishing those partnerships between industry and universities. So if there are those discoveries, there's basically, I guess, a step forward for them to work together for the benefit of, I guess, everyone that's been along for that step.
Well, do you know, we are really good at coming up with the new discoveries and the new ideas here in Australia. We're really not great at commercialising them. So what happens is we use our brain power and then we sell a licence to a manufacturer overseas or, you know, I just think if we can invest in our smarts and translate that into jobs locally, of course that's a good thing.
And look, you know, often how many times have you heard just general research has led to an unexpected discovery? So those type of things, coming back to at least still encouraging that basic research is essential. Couple of things. I do just want to quickly talk about Labor's pledge to cover the cost of 465,000 TAFE spots over the next 4 years, including 45,000 new places, $50 million on upgrading IT systems, workshops, labs, etc., and 10,000 new apprentices for people training in renewables or other clean energy jobs. That's got to be, I guess, a great way for particularly for younger people.
Oh, 100%. You know, we don't have to choose between having a great university system and a great TAFE system. We need both in Australia. We absolutely need
complementary.
Both. And you know, you think about what you need to build a bridge. You need an engineer and an architect, but you need a concrete form worker as well. We need to make sure we're covering the whole range of skills here in Australia, and we've got shortages right across those jobs that you go to TAFE to train for. So all the traditional trades, we've got electricians, plumbers, builders, shortages, hairdressers, pastry chefs, like you name it, we've got shortages. Everywhere I go in Australia, employers say to me, I could be opening an extra day a week, I could be opening longer hours if I had the staff, the skilled and trained staff to do it. So we want to make sure that Australians have the chance of a good job. My dad was a plumber and gas fitter, right? That was a great job. He raised our family, we lived on that income, it was secure work. And also he was very handy to have around the house. I can imagine. You needed a washer change, Dad. They're great jobs, Are there secure jobs? We've got shortages. Why on earth has this government cut billions from TAFE and training during their time in government? Why do we have about 60,000 fewer apprentices and trainees today than when the Liberals came to office? It is, it's a waste of talent. It's a missed opportunity for our young people, and it's a handbrake on our economy too.
Okay, the election. What are your thoughts?
I think it's going to be close. I'm very hopeful. I don't know if I'm ever going to be confident of anything ever again, but I am hopeful. Everywhere I go, people say that life's got harder under Scott Morrison, that life's harder over the last 3 years, that the cost of living's through the roof, you know, petrol, rent, childcare, medical expenses, everything's going up but their wages. And I hope people are ready for a change. And Anthony Albanese has laid out some really good plans to take a little bit of pressure off the cost of living and to see low-paid workers in particular finally get a pay rise. I mean, this is, you know, the long run of people going backwards, of no pay increases that don't nearly keep pace with the cost of living, that's got to stop. We need to see low-paid workers in particular get a pay rise.
We'll see where that smirk lands on Saturday.
We'll see.
Shadow Minister for Education and Women, we love having you in town. Tanya Plibersek, thank you so much for your time.
It's always a pleasure.
In 2022,